Thanks for the introduction, and thanks to the organising committee for allowing me to present this work on behalf of my co-authors. So I think this piece of work feeds in quite nicely from the background that's been provided from the other authors, because this is actually a quality assurance activity, real-life implementation in a busy sexual health service. So we've heard a lot about the epidemiology. It's evolving clearly, it's a moving target. We've grappled with the epi in our clinic, and we've tried to limit testing within syndromes listed there, because that's what we're going to be analysing, our test positivity and testing within syndromes. As we know, high rates of macrolide resistance mutations necessitate this resistance-guided therapy. But also of note, test of cure approach. There's a lack of consensus there on what is the best approach. So these were the two objectives really that we wanted to tease out from this quality assurance activity. Does testing occur in the right group of people? Does it occur in people with significant symptoms presenting to a publicly funded sexual health service? And indeed, if you are testing them, what proportion of them are positive? And then we wanted to look at a different kind of flip side population group. Are we as a service managing those people with mycoplasma appropriately based on our local guidelines? I've just heard some interesting data there on how to manage MG. But for our business rule, we had slightly different approaches. But as a quality activity, and that's, I keep stressing quality activity, were we fulfilling those obligations of clinical service delivery? So this is our algorithm. It is based on the national STI guidelines with some slight differences there. I'm not going to labour the point because you've just seen this type of flowchart, but essentially the message is it's resistance-guided. We did use the data that Katrina presented in terms of pre-treatment with doxycycline, then definitive antibiotic treatment. In our case, we use 1 gram of azithromycin rather than the extended spectrum dose. Again, there's some nuances there with test of cure. We don't test of cure everybody based on the data that's come out from Melbourne Sexual Health that actually you cure the vast majority of people if they've got macrolide-sensitive disease. So we focus mainly on macrolide-resistance infections. If someone was symptomatic, then they get a test of cure. And if someone subsequently was positive, then they would go on to second-line treatment, which in our case is pristinamycin, and then they would definitely have a test of cure to the best of our ability. Okay, so the first objective was, what's the compliance with testing and what were the outcomes of testing in people who had significant STI syndromes? So this was our search strategy. We looked for all the syndromes in our cohorts between a six-month period last year. And we excluded any duplicates, which we found on EMR review, which left us with 365 initial patients, but 372 syndromes, which I'll kind of talk through now, what were the results there. And this table really gives you that feel of, if you test in syndromes, you're going to find positivity. And I take on board what David was mentioning about some syndromes have got more correlation with mycoplasma genitalium than others, but however, these were the five that we picked. And really, in terms of testing, according to our business rule, our management guideline, it was in the high 90s of testing. So we performed quite well as a busy clinical service in testing people with syndromes for mycoplasma. And then really we have this range of positivity from between 6% to about 20% in urethritis of test positivity in syndromes. So overall, we found 16% were MG positive, and in keeping with other data, a high proportion of those were macrolide resistant. So that was our first quality assurance activity. Were we testing appropriately? It looked like we were. And were we identifying them in syndromes? Well, yes, we are. So this was the second objective now, which is looking at patients who are diagnosed with mycoplasma, not necessarily presenting with syndromes. So of course, people are coming into services as contacts of STIs, so they may not necessarily be the same population group. So that's so please keep that in mind when you're looking at the denominators here that I'm presenting. We also excluded patients who had testing from other labs. We kept it to resistance guided treatment, which was performed by our lab rather than external labs, because we wanted to see how we were doing in terms of implementing this guideline. So we had 104 patients in this cohort as opposed to the 58 that I've just previously presented. Now, in terms of taking you through our results over the next four slides, I've broken it down by macrolide-mediated, resistance-guided results. So we have macrolide-sensitive patients and macrolide-resistant patients. And how are we doing in terms of treating those two groups? Well, rather surprisingly, we found out of our macrolide-sensitive group, we were not complying with what you would think is our standard treatment, which was pretreatment with doxycycline followed by azithromycin. Whereas with the macrolide-resistant cases, you can see almost 84% of our patients were treated as per clinic protocol. You can also see that in terms of macrolide-resistant patients, they then went on, if they had a test of cure which was positive, to go on to pristinamycin, and again, small numbers, but only 6 out of those 10 were actually prescribed pristinamycin appropriately. I should note, around this time, we were still using azithromycin for syndromes of urethritis and cervicitis, which may impact on these results. So we wanted to explore, you know, why are we not doing so well with, you know, those macrolide-sensitive infections? Was it the other factors that clinicians are facing in this complexity of Mycoplasma genitalium? And what we wanted to look at is, are there other coexisting STIs which kind of cloud that delivery of antibiotics when you're seeing a patient? Because that's what we're seeing. This is complex, and how do services adapt to that? But the numbers were too small to really make any real comment about STI positivity, other STI positivity in our macrolide-sensitive group, whereas in the macrolide resistance group, there was no apparent change in approach between whether there was a concurrent STI or not. So now, this is again looking at test of cures, and again, I want to highlight the preceding presentations you've seen are much more about getting everyone back, making sure they've all had a test of cure. This is not that. This is just us saying, has a clinic been able to tell a patient, you need to come back for a test of cure? And again, divided up by macrolide-sensitive infections and macrolide-resistant infections. And again, adding to this idea that it's quite complex to implement these things sometimes, I've told you at the beginning, in our macrolide-sensitive infections, we don't usually tell them to come back for a test of cure, but in fact, almost 80% of our patients came back for a test of cure. So in that sense, we weren't really adhering to our own clinic guideline. In terms of macrolide-resistant patients, we were doing much better. We were telling them to come back for a test of cure. They may not have come back, and I'll show that to you in the next slide, but as a clinic, we were telling patients, you've had a complex STI, you need to come back for a test of cure. So there seems to be this kind of difference between macrolide-resistant and macrolide-sensitive implementation at the kind of coalface of a busy STI clinic. Now, I told you that we may have scheduled a test of cure, but just like Chloe, I think, just presented, a big chunk of our patients did not show up for that test of cure. And remember, this is patients who have had a macrolide-resistant MGEN infection. Almost 40% didn't show, so 25 and 6 of that 80 did not show up for a test of cure. Whereas if you did show up, about 76% did actually have their mycoplasma treated successfully. In terms of second-line treatment, where we prescribe pristinamycin, again, really small numbers for us to give you any meaningful comment, but really there was more patients that did not show up for a test of cure than those patients who had a subsequent test of cure to make any comment. So really the conclusions I want to bring through from this is really that of some basic epidemiology on testing in a clinic, but also how do clinics implement these algorithms when we're faced with lots of other issues. So we found that there's high rates of testing and high rates of positivity and high rates of macrolide resistance in STI syndromes. There is a note there that really, there's a kind of creep, I think, of testing for MG, even if someone has a kind of a symptom, which is not an STI syndrome. And I think clinical services have to be aware of it because of the issues that David alluded to. You know, you start finding potentially asymptomatic infections with someone who's just got a little bit of blood rather than proctitis, that type of issue. The test of cures, we had a high percentage of unknown results in macrolide resistant cases, and indeed we were doing far too many test of cures in patients who were actually likely to clear the infection when they had macrolide sensitive infections. And now I really want to come back to this idea that, you know, I think we're actually in this era of STI management, which is really quite complex. We're dealing with antimicrobial stewardship, we're talking about resistance, we're trying to work out who to bring back for a test of cure. Suddenly it's gone from being actually quite straightforward to actually being quite easy and very nuanced for the individual. And how does a clinical service adapt to the ideal guidelines to actual practicalities? In our case, we saw these differences between adherence to protocols based on resistance results. But fundamentally, I think we have to really look at the value of a QA process in a clinic and work out if you're actually delivering what you need to do in terms of patient care. And mycoplasma, I think, is a classic example, but this could be alluded to gonorrhea, as David did in his first session today. You know, we're going to have to face with more complex STI management guidelines. Thanks.